The last Sunday of 2017, and this is the ending, and I'm beginning and the ending. So, yeah. So, for today's exposition, please open your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 5, verse 12 to 16. Luke chapter 5, verse 12 to 16. I'm reading from ESV. Luke chapter 5, verse 12 to 16. Jesus cleanses a leper. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but, "Go and show yourself to the priest, and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them." But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Last Sunday, we heard from Sammy the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ. The great people, so-called great people of this earth, run away from us looking at our problems. But the divine person, Lord Jesus Christ, came to us to serve us, to save us. We saw the compassion of Christ. But as we heard that the solo purpose of Christ for his incarnation is to seek and save the lost. But he did do miracles and some healings. So why Jesus heals? What's the point? If he has come to just die for us, he could have done that. Why he does the miracles and healings? This is a very important question to answer. This is where many are led astray. They say even now the miracles are needed. Healing should be done. But why did Jesus heal? What is the point? One pastor, SLJ, S. Lewis Johnson, helped us. He said like this, "Miracles do not give us faith. Holy Spirit does. But what does miracles do? Miracles point to the Christ. When Christ does a miracle, it shows who he is, his nature. He is the Messiah who has to come and who has the authority and the power and compassion to save us. When Jesus does a miracle or a healing, it shows his power, his authority, and also his compassion towards the sinners. That's what we're going to see today. When Jesus heals this leper, he displays his compassion that he has for this leper and the authority that he has to heal. So, we see this leper, when he heard about this compassionate Christ, he ran to Christ. This is what you and I should do today. We have to run to Christ because he cares for us. Because he cares for us. See here, in the verse 12, he says, when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." He did not say, "If you can." He says, "If you will." He knows Jesus has the power. He knows that Jesus can do. And you and I should realize that he alone can help us today. We have to run to Christ because he cares for us. And we cannot run to each one, everybody, right? There should be some special qualities, attributes, which will help us to run to them. So even to Christ also, to run, we have three motivations that we can see in this scripture portion. Three motivations, three attributes of Christ that will motivate us, drive us to run to Christ and cling to him. Three attributes we are going to see. And the first attribute that we are going to see in this scripture portion that will motivate us, drive us to run to Christ is, the first one is, he is approachable, Lord. He is approachable. See, in those days, leprosy is not a common disease. It's like AIDS. There is almost no cure for leprosy. So they are not allowed to stay in the cities. They are to camp out with lepers, and that too outside of the cities. They are not allowed to enter into the city. If they want to come into the city, they have to shout like, unclean, 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 so that people might realize their identity and run away from them. He cannot enter into the cities. But you see, he directly goes to Christ. He did not go to the disciples. See, he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged Christ Jesus. He did not go to disciples. Today, if you try to go to a PM, you will be kicked out. The higher the rank is, the tougher it gets. But the Christ, the greatest person, the God himself, he's open. He's approachable. We can run to him at any time. He is approachable. And we will learn two truths about his approachableness that will help us to run to him. And the first thing is, he gives hope to the hopeless. He gives hope to the hopeless. See, in verse 12, there came a man full of leprosy. Luke is a physician, medical doctor. He says he is full of leprosy. Not just one dot. Full of leprosy. He is covered with leprosy. There is no hope that he will be healed. He might have tried many things, but there is no hope. In the Old Testament, we can see only few got healed. That is also because of divine intervention. Miriam and the Syrian warrior Naaman, and everyone who were healed were because of God's mercy. All supernaturally. No person got healed as much as we know from the scriptures. So there is no hope for this person. He is full of leprosy. There is no cure. But when he heard about Jesus Christ, he trusted. You know, it's a dangerous thing. It's a courageous thing for him to enter into the city. He can be stoned. In those days, people used to carry stones just in case. If someone comes, a leper comes close to them, they throw stones at him so that they can drive them away. It's a dangerous thing for him to come into the city and approach Christ. But he had the hope. Christ can do. Christ has the authority, has compassion. He can heal me. He has that hope. See, hope in biblical terms is different than the world, how the world uses. Hope is used as a wish in this world. I hope you come to my wedding. It's a wish. But biblical hope is a reality. That the reality of God's blessing that is in future. The redemption that we have in future. That's the biblical hope. So he had the hope. Christ gives hope to the hopeless. How are you today? You're hopeless? You might have tried to overcome your own sins in your life. Maybe you might have taken many resolutions to overcome. You might have failed. You might have said, I can't be that person. I can't read Bible, whole Bible once a year, man. I can't read. I tried many years. I couldn't do that. Because, you know, if we try to do things by our own, we will fail and will be depressed. Run to Christ today. Run to Christ. There is hope. And the second truth about his approachableness is that he shows compassion to the castouts. He shows compassion to the castouts. See, this person, when he comes, he did not demand. See the humbleness of this man. This man is broken. He fell on his face. He did not ask, Christ, please, please, please heal me. I have to go back to my life. He doesn't say, Lord, if you will, if you can. You know why? Because this man is broken. he is not allowed to be social. He cannot have a family life. You know, he might be a married person. He might have had a wife, and never, maybe for long days, he never touched his wife, hugged his wife. And he might have had kids. He might have not kissed his kids. Didn't have a time with the kids. No one would have touched him. No compassion has showed. You know how much compassion those spiritual leaders in those days used to show to these people? If they heard that a leper walked through a street, they wouldn't even buy egg from the shop which is in that street, because the leprosy might spread to them. They literally hate these lepers. This man is broken. He's casted out from the social life. All things that we are taking for granted, like we celebrated Christmas, played many games, we go to shopping malls, it's not allowed for this person. Even if family wants to give some gifts to him, they have to keep in some place, and then they will leave, and the leper should go and take when they leave. This is the condition of this leper. And Christ, what Christ does is, he did not just say, okay, be clean, go up. He says, in verse 13, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. He just expected a word from Christ, be clean. But what Jesus does is different. He touches him. He touches him. People run away from him, but Jesus ran to him and touched him. He stretched out. The leper didn't. Jesus stretched out his hand. He shows compassion to the cast outs. I know we don't have leprosy, but we have more dangerous disease than leprosy. That is sin. Sin is more dangerous than leprosy. You know, leprosy can cast us out from the cities, villages, from the people. But if you carry your sin with you, you will be cast out from God's presence. The sin is more dangerous thing. And what do we think about sin is, the sin that I have is just a small dot on my dress, a small mark here or somewhere here. I just lie. I just disobey my parents. I just can't submit to my husband. He is very, rude. We just find excuses. That one thing is there in my life, rest everything is fine. That's not true. We are full of sin. We sin because we are sinners. We are not sinners because we sin. We are sinners. We are full of sin. We need Christ very badly. Even in our Christian lives, even we know this, even in our Christian lives, when we have sin, we play with it. We don't seriously take it and run to Christ and ask forgiveness. We have to take it seriously. Sin is more dangerous than leprosy. When we sin, we think, oh, God is going to punish me. I will not pray today. I'm not holy. I will not read Bible today. I'll not pray today. 2-3 days, I will just, first I'll, come out of the sin, and then I'll go to God. We won't go to God right after sinning. We just need some time, buffer time. It's a mistake that we do. When I was a child, maybe in the 4th or 3rd grade, I didn't have my own cycle, so I went to rent, and then that is a weekend, so Saturday evening. So all the cycles gone, but there is only one cycle. It's not good one. So the shopkeeper warned me, hey, that's not a good one. You better not take it. But I didn't listen. I took the cycle and maybe few meters I went and I fell down. I hurt myself and then my leg started bleeding. And then I gave the cycle back. And now I'm scared of my mom and dad. If they see me, they're going to spank me. So what I did, I thought I'll just sneak into the house. I'll put some socks and cover it. So I was trying to go, and then I'm very expressive, I can't hide my feelings. So my mom, she was waiting outside, and then she saw me, hey, what's wrong with you? She asked me, and then I said, no, all fine. And then the other auntie, her friend, saw me bleeding and said, hey, blood. And then my mom, she was sitting, and just she stood up, and I thought she was going to spank me, and then I was saying, no, mommy, I was scared, and then my mom didn't hit me, she just took me, and she's worried where to go now. She's, and the other aunties are all helping out. Go to Ravi, he works at hospital, he might help you something. I don't remember what happened the rest of the day, but I only remember, the video is still in my mind, that video is still my mom's love. She actually took me into the arms, and then she cared for me. Even my family, they all showed special love that day. So this is completely different what we expect. Even when we sin, no? When we run to Christ, He will not spank you right away. Because He cares for you. He wants you to be like Christ. He wants you to be holy. So He will not spank you. He will treat you. He will help you to be more like Him. There are two kinds of people. The greatest mistakes that people do is, one, when we sin, we take it casually. It's a small dot here, small mark. I just lie. Or else the other thing, oh man, I did a great sin. I shouldn't go to God today. These are the greatest mistakes that people do. There are many other though. We have to run to Christ. We need Christ more. And there is a great compassion in Christ Jesus. There is a second attribute of Christ that will motivate us, drive us more to run to Christ, is that He is generous. When we approach Him, He is very generous to give. His generosity motivates us. See in verse 14, and He charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering of your cleansing as Moses commanded. See, we see Christ commanding here. How is Christ's generosity seen here? See, when Christ commands something to us, He is not actually receiving anything from us, but He is giving. That is what the gospel is. You know what Jesus Christ told in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 29? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When Christ commands us something, that is not so that He might receive something, but so that we might receive His blessings by obeying. Obedience brings us blessings. And the true generosity is this, that we cannot repay Christ. That's what we see. When Christ here commands this leper to go and do according to Moses' commands, what he is going to receive? He is going to receive the relationship that he lost with the God. You know, lepers are not allowed in the temple for worship services. Now, by going back and doing what Moses commanded to do in the Voti, he is worshipping God. He is worshipping God. That's the generosity of Jesus Christ. So we see two accounts of generosity of Christ Jesus from this verse 14. One, the first thing is, He restores relations. He restores relationships. First, if a leper gets healed, there is a process of sacrifices that has to be done, that the Levites used to take care. There's a 7 days of process. On the eighth day, if the priest confirms him that he is clean, then he can go back to the normal life. He can go back to his family. He can have normal fellowships. He can be a normal person. So he is getting what he lost. Everything. He lost everything. Now he is getting everything because of Christ's generosity. He got his relationship back with the Lord. He has got his relationship back with his family. Christ restores his relations. And the second account of his generosity is that he gives privilege to witness. In the verse 14 itself, it says, he says, you do according to the Moses for a proof to them. Proof to them. Proof to whom? Proof to priests. Go, tell, show them that Christ has come. Christ has come. Remember Matthew chapter 11, when the John the Baptist was in prison, he sent some of his disciples to check on Christ. He says, they question him, are you the one or should we wait for another? And you know what Jesus speaks? He quotes this from Isaiah 61. He quotes this, the blind receive sight and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear and the dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. This is the witness. By healing and cleansing, Christ is known as their Messiah. Jesus is known as their Messiah. So when the leper goes and shows to the priest that I have been healed by Jesus, the priest should know that yes, the Messiah is here. The Messiah is here. So Jesus is commanding him to go and preach gospel to the priests. You got the privilege of being a witness for Christ. Do you witness Christ? Do you share gospel where you stay? If you feel privileged to share gospel, are you ashamed? You know, we all know this. I had a friend, he's also in ministry, a different ministry. And we were on a wedding party and all. And then everybody came and then started introducing themselves. Hi, I'm so-and-so. I work for Microsoft. I work for Cognizant. I work for Capgemini. I work for IT. And then someone went and asked him, Shekhar, tell me, where do you work? I work for IT. And where do you work? He said, you work for IT? I work for Almighty. I work for Almighty. He takes pride in it. You feel ashamed of being Christian or you're joyful? You cannot preach gospel, you cannot share gospel if you don't enjoy it. It's very simple. I love biryani, Hyderabad biryani especially. There are good places in Goa also, I ate, which is good, which Mario brings. But Hyderabad biryani is the best for me. I don't want some push-up. Wherever I go, I say, hey, let's eat Hyderabad biryani. Because I love Hyderabad biryani. If we enjoy Christ, only then we can preach Christ. Poor fellow, he got the command from Jesus Christ not to tell anyone, but to go only show to the priest. But what happened in verse 15 we see, but now even more the report about him went abroad and great crowds gathered to him. When, if you read Mark, this he himself shared. He couldn't resist. See, there, he probably this might be in Capernaum, Galilee, and he has to go to Jerusalem for purification process. And on the way, people might be asking all the chaiwala, every shop guy, hey, you got healed, man? How did this happen? Oh, you know, it's a secret, but Jesus healed me. He might have shared to everyone. Now the whole crowd is back of Jesus. Here we see the third attribute of Christ. The third attribute of Christ that will drive us to run to him is that he is a serving Lord. He's a sovereign King, Lord. He is a serving Lord. So when everybody, all people ran to him, ran to Christ, for what we see, Luke clearly mentions, they ran to Christ for what? Not to seek Christ, but so that they might hear him and to be healed their infirmities. So that they might be entertained by listening to him and so that they might be healed. He is a servant Lord, but not the servant how many people think these days. Jesus like a homeboy. Like if you left your dal on the stove, and if you forgot, he runs and switches off. And then he serves you at home. This is not the Christ of the Bible. When Bible talks of Jesus Christ as a servant, he's a servant. He serves so that we might be a servant leaders. So that we might be holy and blameless, and then we might be more like Christ in that area. He helps us. He serves us so that we might be like Christ. He doesn't encourage those who come to him for health, wealth, and prosperity. That we'll see. The two aspects of his servanthood. Two aspects of servanthood is, first, he rebukes the fake followers who seek him for their personal satisfaction, for their health, for their wealth, and their prosperity. He rebukes them. They came to Christ so that they might be entertained by hearing to him, and so that they might be healed. And what Christ does is, he would withdraw to the desolate place. He said he slipped away. Some translation says he slipped away. He doesn't want to preach to them. He doesn't care. He rebukes fake followers. But he intercedes for the true followers. See, in the last part of the verse, he withdraws and goes to desolate places and does what? He prays. He prays. He rebukes those who follow him for their self-satisfaction, and he prays for the true followers. If Christ himself prayed, how much more we should pray? Do you pray? Do you pray for others as Christ prayed for others? Charles Spurgeon said this: the kindest thing that a man can ever do to another man is prayer. The kindest thing that ever you can do to your loved one is prayer. This leper, this broken-hearted leper, when he prayed, his life changed. He was a leper who was casted out. Now he is healed. Now he became a normal person. Now he is enjoying his relationship with Christ and his relationship with family. And he is witness for Christ now. He ran to Christ, and now he is serving Christ. The small prayer changed his life. He ran to Christ. And since Christ cares for him, his life is changed. If we run to Christ, our lives are also going to be changed. You take resolutions for New Year. I took few this year. I have succeeded some. Few. But still, I'll try to fulfill them this year. How about you? You take resolutions. If you take resolutions, don't try to do it by yourself. Run to Christ. And realize that nothing is possible with you and nothing is impossible with Christ. If you go to Christ, if you run to Christ with broken hearted, He's going to heal you. He's going to help you. He's going to build you. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in the spirit. He is near to the brokenhearted. May God bless this message. Thank you.